to the book of John, chapter 5. And let me read, beginning with verse 39 through 47. But before we read, let's approach the throne of our God's grace and ask Him to guide our hearts and our minds into all truth, that we might manifest the new creature in this fleshly tabernacle. Heavenly Father, we recognize that being apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, we're as helpless as a babe in arms. Without the coming of the Spirit of God to take Thy word to our heart, reveal the truth of it, our spirit made come before Thee in worship, there shall be nothing accomplished. Thank Thee for this good hour, most of all, Heavenly Father, for this home we learned to know and love many years ago. We ask, O Lord, Thy rich blessings to rest upon Brother Wiley as he labors so faithful and sacrificial to spread Thy truth. Strengthens his dear companion that so humbly takes care of the home. The children, Lord, may they continue to grow in grace and knowledge of Thee and be a monument, a trophy from Calvary. Their fellow classmates, wherever they're ones in the workforce for that, it can be said of them, let Jesus be seen. Take Larry and use him for your glory. Give him that comfort that he so oftentimes says he stands in need of. And help us, if we are weak in body today, thou knowest. Take thy word and use it for your glory, as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. I fear that that fan will cause my throat to close. Sometimes it's hard for me to get through 30 minutes. Sometimes on the radio, as this voice has been crying for 49 years. And it's weak. The voice box is very weak. But we read from God's holy word. Search, he says, the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Ye will not come to me that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. How can ye believe which receive not honor one of another, which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my word? I've heard it said that Jesus came to save man from religion. And Jesus spoke forth these words to religious people, as they gloried in their forefather, Abraham, rejected the Christ that Moses spoke of, and sought within themselves to satisfy God in the groves, offering incense and various ceremonial ritual activity. But it pleased not God to do that which I trust He's done for us that are gathered here this morning, and that's worked a work of grace in our hearts. We've been over about everything that limited minds such as mine could speak of. Since I've been here, the home. But there is a danger, and we're aware of it. It's already instrumental in the death of many. And that is resting in the Word of God and not the Son of God. Jesus says, search the Scriptures. In them ye think ye have eternal life. But eternal life is in the Son of God. I said to someone this past week as we were discussing, talking about the resurrection, I said, I'm resurrected already. You believe that? Jesus stood by the graveside, His tears rolled down the cheeks of the kinfolk. And they said unto Him, I know He shall come forth in the resurrection. Jesus said, I am the resurrection. We've been crucified. We've been buried. We've been resurrected in Christ Jesus. And you know all we wait for, beloved? It is the departure of this Spirit that came from God to wing its way back to God. That's what the Scripture says. Oh, that men would bow to the Word of God. Oh, that men, David cried out, would praise God. Oh, that men would give glory to God for that which He has done. And yet in this age which is called the enlightened age, the advanced age, they still say, I do not understand. I don't know. I wish I did. Well, there's a few things that pertains to one being brought to understanding. I take you to one that means so much to me. The Lord means most of all, but David. I'm a lover of the song. Brother Wiley mentioned already he was a man after God's own heart. I visited a Baptist church some time back, about a month or two ago, and this preacher was preaching on the sin of David and what a sorry daddy those children had. I cringed as I thought. There was a man chosen of God to sit upon the throne of Israel, the greatest king that Israel ever had, and recognized by God Himself that he was a man after His own heart. The poor preacher, Brother Wiley, I fear will be trapped in his own doing before he's 40 years old. He's 30 years and a couple now. Sees not that snare that can be set for him in his ministry as he seeks to condemn men because of the weakness of the flesh. David said in Psalm 51 and 5, and we went to it last night, I was conceived in sin, shapen in iniquity. That's beyond the concept of or the understanding of the human mind. But his mind had been brought to know God beyond intellectual, but spiritually. He knew the Lord. He said, I foresaw the Lord always sitting at the right hand. And we, beloved, that's been brought, we see our Lord.
sitting at the right hand, interceding for from the least to the greatest here this morning. David recognized he did not go against the Word of God. He recognized his condition. He recognized his nature, and he recognized and confessed where it came from. If you turn with me to the book of Romans, let's look in chapter 5. If I'd have prepared to preach this morning, got ready for preaching, I'd have brought these scriptures together and had a clip on them and could turn to them. But I want you to take time and you turn with me and we look at them. In chapter 5 of the book of Romans, the Holy Spirit so reveals to us, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned. That's pretty hard for me to take right there. Some hadn't sinned, it seems to say. After the similitude of Adam's transgressions, who is the figure of him that was to come? He recognizes that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In Adam, we all die. But he was aware of the fact of the coming of the second Adam, being spiritual, coming by promise of God, coming by cause of the prophecy of those of old, as I read, Moses spoke of me. Moses said, there's one coming like unto me, him shall ye hear. And he said to them, ye did not believe Moses. You do not know God. You're not of God. You won't hear me. You will not believe. And he that believeth not on the Son of God hath not life. The wrath of God abideth upon him. Oh, that men could come and bow at the feet of the Word of God. Verse 12 in that same chapter, I believe I just quoted it. Romans 5 and verse 12, I believe it is. For sin, taken occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. Those that go forth today with the law spreading wildfire among the people, as we've already discussed, many seek somewhere to lodge comfortably in religion, have not the desire that they be slain and lay prostrate at the feet of the Son of God, mourning over their sin. That law was good. The commandments good and holy. But there is no salvation in the law. Many today, multitudes today, are resting, brother, right there. We're overrun in our area with law keepers, law preachers, law teachers. I preach on the radio. There's been a woman calling me for, I suppose, 3 years, about once a month, something like that. She's a Seventh-day Adventist. I've sought to slay that false doctrine, and she listens. She writes. She invites. She wants me to come to their meetings. She's seeking something, and rather than bow to the gospel of God's sovereign grace, she'll take that false prophet's lie concerning salvation is by keeping the law. And she says, I've got to keep this. I've got to do that. When Almighty God said the only thing He demanded to repent, it was His will that all men repent everywhere. Except a man repent, he'll perish. Perish into the regions of the damned. David recognized he was a sinner. Paul recognized he was a sinner. And it was the nature. Take out that old man, O God, and put a man in there that'll walk before Thee circumspectly, walking in true holiness and righteousness, as the great need today is for a godly life, a godly walk by the people that profess to be Christians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, the Word of God says, the natural man receiveth not the things of God. That's the very reason, Brother Wiley, you, I, and others, Brother Larry, cannot, even to begin with, we're not welcome in these churches with our position on the doctrines of grace. That's the reason the door closed to Barnard. That's the reason the door closed to Caldwell and all others. That's the reason the door closed on me. I cannot get into those churches. I had one pastor to say I wouldn't let that man in my pulpit for nothing in the world. Why? Why wouldn't he let me in the pulpit? I'm carrying a gun. I have no poisonous gas to release. I have the Word of God that slew, Paul said, slew me. And he don't want his congregation slain. He'd have to go to work for his bread. He might have to go out and rent a house to live in. He might not have a congregation to preach to. They want the Word of God. This is the day and age when there's no reception to the truth of God. Because spurious preaching, wildfire, from the Baptist pulpit, up or down, whichever you want to go, has brought into bodies those that claim to be churches without ever coming to the knowledge of the truth of their own condition. In John chapter 3, I believe it's verse 5, I don't know, turn to it if you want to. Chapter 3, where the Lord Jesus Christ said of Himself, said unto Nicodemus. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except it be a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. But he said something earlier to the same man that we need to pay close attention to. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. People want to know why we take the position we do. They cannot see it. They cannot know it. They cannot hear it. Why? They've never been born of the Spirit of God. Never been born of the Spirit of God. Now hesitate not to tell them that. You must be born again. Wiley, you've given me some literature that so fits the case I'm acquainted with that I've been talking to this boy about 3 years. Young man, married, 2 children. I'm going to lay it on. If he'll read it, I believe he'll see something. I don't know. Turn with me. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. We got on all this scripture last night. I started to tell Wiley. Well, you just turned all pieces of what I was hoping to bring to our attention. But I have to do it anyway. I couldn't get away from it. Chapter 2, verse 12 of the book to the believers of Philippi or whoever you want to call it. 2:12. For it is God which worketh in you both the will and the do of his good pleasure. Whose will is it for it to be wrought in man? God's will. When did he will it? Before the foundation of the world. Why did he will it? He said that he would take out a people for his name's sake, as innumerable as the sand of the sea. We see today it looks like there's not very many coming. But we don't know what God's doing somewhere else. We don't know what he's going to do here yet. I want to see awakening. I want to see revival. Oh, how I'd like to get in a meeting like I've been in the 50s, late 40s and 50s. Brethren, I haven't been in a revival meeting. I haven't been in one in 20 years. I've been to meetings. But what happened? No one was lifted up. No one was encouraged. No one was brought to bow before God and cry unto Christ for deliverance. I pastor the big church in Greenville. Harold Seitler, not too long ago, was up on 150 between Lexington and Winston. We attended the meeting. He stood and pled for a half an hour. I believe it was 4 invitational hymns they went over, trying to get someone to come to an altar. You know what Harold Seitler did years ago? Multitudes flocked to the altar wherever he preached. Now, what's happened? I don't know. That's in the wisdom of God. I don't know. But I still believe, Brother Wiley. You don't disagree with me. I think you more or less do agree with me. Something's been taken out of the way. There is no conviction today to the sin nature of the individual that you come before God and want to be delivered from that sinful condition he's in. His nature. They're not brought to recognize their sinful nature. And it's God's good pleasure to move upon whom he pleases, where he pleases, how he pleases, when, whatever. That individual, bring him to bow before him. My children, I take the positions lost. I tried desperately to speak to him not too long ago, a number of us gathered in the home. I had one of my grandchildren to break in and say, I'm an evolutionist. I raised this book. I shook it towards him. I said, son, what if it is so? His wife, she's that dear girl there reminds me a lot of his wife. They hadn't been married long. I said, son, what if it is so? And she turned as pale, Brother Wiley, like you'd drawn every drop of blood in her body out. God stabbed her heart for the question, what if it is so? She'd been brought up in a Presbyterian home, Presbyterian church, some acquaintance with the teaching of the Word of God. But that went home to her soul. What if it's so? She knew there was a living God. She knew there was a hell to shun. She knew there was a heaven to gain. She knew she was lost. She knew she wasn't aware. She wasn't aware of ever being born of the Spirit of God. I don't know what to do. I go out here with a gun. I put a gun on that girl. You repent. You get right with God or I'll kill you. What effect is that going to have on the soul? Not one bit whatsoever. Oh, yeah, to dodge the bullet. Oh, that God would take a sword, the Word and the Spirit, and pierce the heart of the young and the old alike, come to bow before Him. If I read correctly, I believe Spurgeon was about 7 years old. Was he not 7 or 8? He went to church that night and was awakened. Quickened. Seeking. The Son of God. Brother, we've been talking about the Holy Ghost. And the ministry today shuns mentioning or mentions very little of Him. Because He will set your fields on fire. The Word of God says you'll be baptized with fire and the Holy Ghost. And if there's a Holy Ghost around, it'd be some fire. You say, smoke? I see a little smoke coming up. Must be some fire. Well, you go over there and you find embers, coals that are smoking. Blow upon them coals and they'll blaze up. And if the men of God was preaching in the demonstration of the Spirit and power of God today, if there is any burning in the souls, somebody would be made to live. I see John the Baptist as he stands there. He looks up to the heavens. Heavens. There falls from space a dove. As the Lord Jesus Christ said, I do all those things that the Father saith me to do. And he was told to go down to the River Jordan. John was baptizing. He didn't have to be saved. He was the Savior. But he left an example as he took on the nature of man without sin, leaving us a picture of a crucifixion and a burial of a dead person. Dead to sin, alive to in Christ, alive to righteousness and holiness, godliness, as he was obedient to the Father. John saw the dove fall. The Spirit of God light upon him, and the voice from heaven, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And John said of that Son, He shall baptize you with fire and the Holy Ghost. I'm a great contender for the fact that the Holy Spirit no longer visits the churches. An individual may have a visitation, a refreshing from on high, but the churches are dead. There in one of the Baptist churches in Spencer, a dear old saint of God got happy some few years back and began to shout the praises of God. And the preacher paused and called the ushers and asked her to lead her to the vestibule. They would have none of that in the meeting. Well, God will just take so much refusal of His presence. He'll no longer visit where He's unwelcome.
as Jesus said, I leave your house desolate. He said to the apostles, the disciples, when they were sent forth to preach, go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. If they receive you, praise God. If they don't, shake the dust off of your feet and bid them adieu. You want to preach that today, while you will receive my Christ. I shake my dust, the dust off of my feet against you. To be resurrected in the judgment and sinned against your ungodly, stubborn will that refuse to listen to God's man. Maybe because he didn't go to the seminary. Maybe because he didn't graduate from high school. Maybe because he don't have much education. It is said of them lowly boys, these fellows, fishermen, they've never been to school. They're just ignorant fishermen. But they took notice where they'd been. They had been with Jesus. And God bless your heart, children. You can never erase that if you've ever been with Jesus. You can't erase it. Oh, it's going to shine out there somewhere, somehow. It may be dim. There may not be but 110 votes on that light, but somewhere out there is a line with 440. It'll do more damage. But your light might lighten the pathway of a poor, poor lost soul as the word of God goes forth. Oh, souls, rejoice that God in his tender mercy saw fit to cross your path. Last Saturday, I lost control of myself. Praise God. I was ashamed, almost ashamed of myself. I said to some of them as they came and shook hands with me and all, I said, I just couldn't control myself. Praise God, preacher, we haven't seen anybody shed tears, not all when. I stood in the midst of them. One, many of them, 1 foot in the grave, another on a banana peel. As Caldwell said, there was only two there older than myself. The rest of them in their 60s and early 70s. Then a lot of children and the younger parents. I said I was almost ashamed of myself. And I'll repeat, they said, preacher, we haven't seen anyone shed tears. Not on a wind. And Brother Wiley, I won't tell you what one man did. One man came shaking like this and said, don't talk about death. Don't talk about death. Don't talk about death. I'm almost ready to meet God, but he's not ready to die. Meet God in the judgment, not in the glory land. Don't talk about death. I'll tell you some of the sweetest moments, praise God, now in my home. When my dear companion and I, that are looking down in the grave almost now. She'll soon be 80. Health no good. I never know when I fall off my feet. Some of the sweetest moments is, Brother Wiley, we can talk about whenever I have to leave you on these days. I don't want to be first. I hate to leave you because of your health. I want to stay and take care of your health. You see, if they know, Daddy, I'll go first. We think about meeting in glory. We're going to meet again, children. You're going to see Mom and Dad. Oh, Brother Larry, praise God, be somewhere there. We refresh our acquaintance. Somehow or another, I'm almost convinced that they're looking down from the battlements of glory now. Them that's gone on, I don't know about that. But somehow or another, if they're angels, praise God, or that, if they have the standing of an angel in heaven, praise God, they look over the battlements when one sinner is saved. Maybe they see the sinner when he becomes a saint. Watch, looking down, as we're watched over by God. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Acts, chapter 13.
13 and verse 22. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Said earlier, David recognized he was conceived in sin, shapen in iniquity. David was aware of the fact that he had broke the commandment of God. David was aware of the fact that he had lost the joy that he once had. But he was also aware of the fact that God forgives sin and restores one to that fellowship with him. Great example of the forgiveness of God, and truly a manifestation of the weakness of man. These that you run into that are perfect, they've reached perfection now. They no longer sin. You may, if you have the grace of God and good limbs to run, tell them that they're just a liar, and the truth ought to let them be ready to run. They'll fight you over it. But our fullness is in Christ Jesus. Our perfection is in Him, and not in this life. What must change if we're to enter into the portals of glory? First of all, if we're to manifest a godly life here, we've got to have a new nature. And to have that new nature, there must be an operation by the surgeon of God, or God the surgeon. Someone has said the greatest operation that ever took place on earth was Lansing, Michigan. I said, no. The greatest operation ever took on earth, when God removed a sinful heart and put in a new heart without leaving a scar. Never left a scar. Then, that new nature, from the new heart, and in the operation, the mind is renewed. A sound mind comes. The mind the unregenerate have is not a sound mind. It's a mind under the evil influences of Satan. Only knows of the things of the world. A new creation with a renewed mind. To sit out and glean from this word heaven's manna. Feed your soul. Are you hungry for manna from heaven? It's right here. Ears to hear the word, and eyes to behold the glory that awaits them that are His. Many mysteries, many untold things, many hidden things from us here. But one day, it won't be too long. How long, only God knows. A while they'll get word, somebody thinks the old preacher done died. Oh, yeah, he went on. Then I'll be able to behold that which I have not seen, ear not heard, that God hath prepared for them that love Him. I want to love Him more. I want to love Him more and more and more. I remember some years ago, I don't know whether any of y'all ever heard of the walkathon. Ever hear about the walkathon? He come, put up a tent. Put a great big stage there. And then they'd have these couples come. They'd dance. Or just swoon in one another's arms for hours and hours and days and days. And they had a little girl. She had a beautiful voice. She would sing the song, I want more. I want more. I want more. She wanted more of this world and not more of God. More of this world and none of God. I want more of the love of God. If it please Him that from this whole struggling, weary pilgrim be seen in me, that the beauty and the love of God be seen in me. That was David's desire, the restoration of the Spirit, that he might exercise himself to beautifying Almighty God by teaching sinners of God's mercy. That's what he did. I don't know how many of your children, Brother Wiley, have been brought to realize their condition. I'm persuaded to believe that the Holy Spirit dwells at home, guiding these fine young people, keeping them in His care. And if those are sons, young and tender yet, maybe haven't been moved upon to repent and believe and receive eternal life. But my prayer is that you'll get to see every one of them. As we were talking last night, we don't know. If you haven't seen, let it be so, Almighty God. I enjoyed passing these few passages of Scripture to you. May, if there be a comment that meant anything to you, you give God the glory.